About the agreement between Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos, by which we establish a structure to finish cross participation between companies through absorption split offs, simultaneous absorption to split offs. In this space, we have Ricardo Jaramillo, president of Grupo Sura, Jorge Mario Velasquez, president of Grupo Argos, Juan Esteban Tora, vice president of corporate finances for Grupo Sura, Alejandro Piedraita, vice president for strategy and corporate finance for Grupo Argos, Maria Irena Pulido, manager of legal, financial, and investment matters, Rafael Rivera, vice president of legal matters for Grupo Argos. You know, the website of Grupo Argos and Grupo Sura, you can find all the information related to this call. I want to invite you to move on to slide number 3 of the presentation. We could start the meeting. I want to give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez and Ricardo Jaramillo. Thank you, Juan Esteban and Carlos. Warm greetings for you all. Shareholders, investors, and others that are part of this call. As we published yesterday, we will be having this call to broaden and speak about the announcement that we made last night, given the importance that this operation has for both companies. Good morning to you all. Thank you for been in this call. As Jorge mentions, the objective that we have here is to give you more clarity about the transaction that we announced, and as we've seen, is a key milestone for the evolution of Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos. Well, thank you, Ricardo. This organization, for the last 4 to 6 years, have shared a cross participation structure that have been fundamental for the growth and internationalization of both companies. Under this model, we have enabled a business development based on the positive impact generation for all the groups of interest. Nevertheless, recognizing the preferences of investors and of a changing capital market, both organizations are ready to place under the consideration of its shareholders a strategic alternative in order to advance toward simpler and more specialized structures aligned with a global trend, taking a significant step in the growth and consolidation process of both companies. Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos have signed, as it was announced yesterday, a split of agreement, while a structure has been agreed upon in order to dispose in an organized manner the cross-participation that each company has in the other. The structure of the transaction that we'll be speaking of was studied in detail for a considerable time, bearing in mind as a design premises characteristics that we'd like to emphasize on. The first and most important is equality for all the shareholders of the company, independent of the companies and independent into which company they're at or what type of share they have. Second, the non-transfer of economic value of shareholders and organizations involved in this transaction. Third, the efficiency in financial terms, including possible fiscal impacts or tax impacts for the shareholders and those companies that are involved. The administrations of Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos and the boards, supported by external advisors that are expert in this topic, made an exhaustive analysis for different types of alternatives and structures that would be applicable for these types of processes, and concluded that a split of by absorption for both companies that simultaneously implemented complies with all the agreed objectives that we specified in the memorandum of understanding that was described by both organizations and that was shared with the market last 25th of October. So, meaning by this, this alternative allows ending in an organized manner a cross participation between Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos, and in addition, guarantees equal treatment to all the shareholders. It's financially feasible, legally feasible, and accounting feasible, and also in terms of times of executions. It allows each one of the companies to keep deepening on their specialization and developing their own strategy in long term. This operation will allow the shareholders of Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos to keep their participation in the company where they have shares, and obtaining a direct participation in the other company, keeping the economic value that they initially had in one share and that now will have directly in two types of shares. Likewise, the transaction will simplify the shareholder structure and portfolio structure, eliminating those cross participations, facilitating the value revelation for all the shareholders of both companies. This resultant structure will allow that each organization will keep on specializing in their respective sectors and will increase the capacity of both companies in order to attract investors and accessing the necessary capital in order to develop the strategy of each one of these. As the result of this transaction, each shareholder of Grupo Sura will keep their current shares in Grupo Sura and will receive 0.72 shares of Grupo Argos for each share that they had before the operation. At the same time, each shareholders of Grupo Argos will keep their current shares of Grupo Argos and will receive 0.23 shares of Grupo Sura for each share that they initially had. This operation is aligned with the objective that the companies have shared with the market in the last couple of months. In an organized and efficient manner, we'll end the cross-participation structure, will deepen in the specialization of Grupo Sura in the financial service sector and for Grupo Argos in the infrastructure sector. There will be a continuity for the business plan for both organizations, and we guarantee an equal treatment for all the shareholders of the involved companies. The split off by absorption, the chosen legal figure by the companies in order to materialize their objective of stop being reciprocal investors, represents an operation that has already been done in the Colombian Stock Exchange in the last years. This transaction consists in a unique operation that will be executed simultaneously, where each one of the split-offs will be conditioning for the other. This will guarantee simplicity and transparency for all the shareholders of the company, while it will also enable efficiencies in financial terms and in terms of execution times, which is one of the main objectives that were set by the administrations of Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos in the moment of determining that this will correspond to the adequate transaction structure. Now, before going into step by step of this transaction that will end this cross participation, would like to stop and explain conceptually what is a split up by absorption. For this, we want to invite you to move on to slide number 4. This mechanism implies that a company, that let's call company A for sake of the exercise, splits up or separate one or several assets in favor of the other company. For the case of the example, let's call it company B. Then company B absorbs these assets that previously belonged to company A, incorporating them to their asset base. Afterwards, company B will issue new shares that will be delivered to the shareholders of company A as a counterpart of the assets that previously were received and absorbed. Like this, as a final exercise, the shareholders of company A will keep their same shares in company A that won't have the split of assets plus the assets that they will receive from company B, which come as product of this operation. Now, considering the concept of split up by absorption, let's look on slide number 5, the summary of the transaction that will be submitted for the approval of the shareholders of Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos, which consists on a split up by absorption, a simultaneous split up by absorption, as we previously explained. In this operation, Grupo Argos splits up in favor of Grupo Sura its participation in Grupo Sura, while Grupo Sura splits up in favor of Grupo Argos its participation in Grupo Argos. Afterwards, each organization absorbed their own shares that were split off. As a consequence, Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos issue new shares. I want to emphasize on this. Issues new shares for the shareholders of the other companies. Ordinary shareholders will receive ordinary shares, while preferential shareholders will receive preferential shares in order to guarantee the equal treatment of the rights of each stock and of its shareholders. Given that Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos are reciprocal investors, prior to the submission, each one of these companies will receive their own shares in the proportion of their participation in the other company, which will be canceled. So the own shares will be canceled, increasing simultaneously the economic participation that all of the shareholders have in the companies that are different from Grupo Argos and Grupo Sura. Like this, as a final result, each shareholder will have a direct participation both in Grupo Argos as well as in Grupo Sura, two companies that won't have cross-participations any longer. Now, I want to invite you to look at this step-by-step that's found on slide number 6. This slide summarizes the shareholder structure of the current portfolios for Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos, considering the following. Cementos Argos will dispose of its participation in Grupo Sura in order for the shareholders to have a direct participation in such company, by which Grupo Argos, as a shareholder of Cementos Argos, will receive around 15 million additional shares for Grupo Sura from the ones that the company currently holds. Second, shares owned by the independent autonomous equity of the vote will also be part of this operation. Besides, the presented ratios will be able to change in virtue of the variation of the number of circulating shares that Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos have in the moment of perfectioning the split-offs. Like this, we have that Grupo Argos is a holding that's focused on infrastructure investments with a portfolio that includes assets such as Cementos Argos, Celsia, Odinsa, Pacta, and its urban development business, besides a relevant investments of Grupo Sura. In total, Grupo Argos counts with 840 million shares that are currently circulating between ordinary and preferential shares. From these shares, 66% belong to shareholders that are different from Grupo Sura, while the other 34%, which equals to 286 million shares, is under the control of Grupo Sura. From its part, Grupo Sura is an investment manager focused in financial services with investments in Sura Asset Management, Sura Americana, and Bancolombia, besides its participation in Grupo Argos. In total, Grupo Sura owns 395 million shares that are currently circulating, from which 50.1% belong to shareholders that are different from Grupo Argos, while the economic rights of 49.9% that are equal to approximately 197 million shares are under the control of Grupo Argos. On slide number 7, we explain How the final results of the operation reflect the current structure of cross-participation between both companies. At the end of the operation, each shareholders will keep its current shares in Grupo Argos and will obtain 0.23 shares of Grupo Sura for each share they had before the operation. In the case of Grupo Sura, each shareholder will keep its current shares and will obtain 0.72 shares of Grupo Argos for each share that they initially owned. These ratios derive from the relation between the total shares that are in circulation of both companies and the number of shares that are owned as a cross property. The shareholders of Grupo Argos will receive 0.23 shares from Grupo Sura, which corresponds to the relation between 840 million shares of Grupo Argos and 197 million shares where Grupo Argos has economic rights for Grupo Sura. In an analog manner, in the case of Grupo Sura, 0.72 shares of Grupo Argos that will receive each shareholder for each share that they own corresponds to the relation of the 397 million shares of Grupo Sura and of those 286 million shares that Grupo Sura has in Grupo Argos. This first ratio of 0.72 dividing both numbers of shares, 286 million shares over 395 million shares, and the same case for Grupo Argos. Concluding this operation, these ratios will be kept from a shareholder perspective with a fundamental difference that its exposition in the other company will be direct. Now, let's speak about the split of. Bearing in mind the current society structure, we could go and explain step by step of this split of by absorption exercise that's explained on slide number 8. In a first moment, Grupo Argos will split off in favor of Grupo Sura, 197 million shares. At its time, Grupo Sura will split off in favor of Grupo Argos, 286 million shares. Now let me speak about the absorption. Afterwards, as you can see on slide number 9, Grupo Argos absorbs the investment that Grupo Sura had in Grupo Argos, meaning by this 286 million shares. At the moment of the absorption, the shares are canceled. Likewise, Grupo Sura will absorb any investment that Grupo Argos had in Grupo Sura, meaning by this 197 million shares. At the moment of this absorption, these shares will be canceled. Now let's speak about the emission. Afterwards, and as you can see on slide number 10, Grupo Argos will issue 286 million shares in favor of all the shareholders of Grupo Sura in exchange of its own shares that have been received by Grupo Sura. The shares that correspond to the company will be canceled, increasing the participation of all the rest of the shareholders in Grupo Argos. Likewise, Grupo Sura will issue 197 million shares in favor of all the shareholders of Grupo Argos in exchange of its own shares that have been received from Grupo Argos. The shares that belong to the company will be also canceled, growing like this the participation of all the rest of the shareholders in Grupo Sura. Prior to this emission, Grupo Argos will receive 143 million shares that will be canceled, proportional to its 49.9% of participation in Grupo Sura. The rest of the shareholders of Grupo Sura will receive 143 million shares and new shares from Grupo Argos. With this, Grupo Argos ends with 697 million shares that will be in circulation. Likewise, Grupo Sura will receive 67 million shares that will be canceled. That's proportional to its 34% of participation in Grupo Argos. The rest of the shareholders in Grupo Argos will receive 130 million new shares from Grupo Sura. Product of this, Grupo Sura will have 328 million shares in circulation. Now let me give the word to Ricardo Jaramillo, so he can keep on explaining the rest of the presentation. Well, thank you, Jorge. It's fundamental, as you said, to understand the step-by-step of this operation. I'll be focusing on the following. First, I want to make a summary of how this definite or this final participation will be for each one of the companies, and afterwards, I'll explain the attributes that this transaction has. Focus from a design criteria point of view, that was what guided us in terms of analyzing the different alternatives. Let me invite you to move on to slide number 12. Here we could see the shareholder structure for Grupo Sura. And after Jorge's explanation, we could see that the company ends with a total of 328 million shares. If we would see what percentage belongs to shareholders of Grupo Sura, and for shareholders of Grupo Argos, we'll be speaking of the approximate mix of 60 and 40%. And it's also very important to highlight the percentage that ordinary and preferential shares will have. You could see that's approximately 50%. This is for Grupo Sura. When we go to Grupo Argos, we'll see a total of 697 shares, and we'll see that the shares coming from Grupo Argos will have a 79% of that, and the shareholders coming from Grupo Sura will have a 21%. It's always important to bear in mind that both companies, where we have asymmetric participations in each one of the companies. Now, let me invite you to move on to slide number 13. Slide number 13 will be speak about a virtuous cycle, which gives us the assurance that this is the key movement for the company, both for the company, shareholders, and the markets. Let's speak about the shareholders. This is definitely a simpler structure that enables a better value revelation. The shareholders of both companies and of both shares, both ordinary and preferential, will grow. They'll have a larger number of shares, and we'll be looking at that in more detail. And definitely, they go from having a direct investment to a direct participation, keeping their economic value. So from the shareholder point of view, this is positive. We will be drilling down that level of detail, and Jorge mentioned this in the different ratios. A person today, indirectly, in the participation of any of the shares, has a percentage associated to Grupo Argos and the percentage associated to Grupo Sura. The measure that we split of these two companies, the different shareholders, will keep that economic value. And that comes since we designed this focusing on equality and on the wealth transfer. And we can guarantee that this individual will have the same value for each share after the transaction. And this, as Jorge said, a person that has a Grupo Sura share will have a Grupo Sura share plus 0.72 shares of Grupo Argos. And the one that owns a Grupo Argos shares will have a Grupo Argos share plus a 0.23 share of Grupo Sura. The importance of the simplicity of this is that this is independent from the values that are allocated to the shares. Those that are interested, in our website, we even have calculators where each one can enter different values. And you could see that given that those ratios are associated to the number of shares and not to the value, with any value that you enter, we'll find the same ratios that we have been speaking of. So this is very powerful for the shareholders from this point of view. And now if we move on to slide number 16, we can see how this grows. This happens both for Grupo Argos shareholders as well as for Grupo Sura shareholders, both for ordinary and preferential shareholders. And here, hypothetically, we're saying that someone has a 5% of ordinary shares of Grupo Argos shares or 5% of the preferential shares of Grupo Argos will have 6% of ordinary shares for Grupo Argos and 3% of ordinary shares of Grupo Sura. These guarantees keeping your rights, equality, the value transfer, and this also increases the value. And this also happens for those that own Grupo Sura shares. Anyone that owns 5% of preferential shares of Grupo Sura will end with 6% of the preferential shares of Grupo Sura with an additional 2% of preferential shares of Grupo Argos. From a shareholder point of view, this is positive. When we eliminate the cross-participation, each one of the shareholders grow their participation. This is also fundamental in this virtuous cycle and why we consider this as something positive for the shareholders. Let's move on to the upcoming slide. And here we're going to be focusing on the companies. And why is this important for the companies? Well, first, they will be more focused on their speciality. This is something that capital markets and developed markets have been advancing. And we do consider that the fact that the administration can specifically focus their capital, their knowledge, their experience, their skill, and their power in a specific sector is fundamental for the value proposal that each one of the companies have. On slide number 18, we'll see how this will be, not just in focusing on their portfolio, but in the simplification of their structure. Let's see how both companies will be structured then. Then we have Grupo Argos Vertical. It's a vertical, as Jorge said, focused on infrastructure. We're with three powerful assets with all the potential: Cementos Argos, Celsia, Audinza, and Urban Development. Leader companies with an infrastructure pipeline that exceeds 20 trillion. And proof of the strength of this company, the recent materialization of the cement business in the United States that translates into a financial flexibility for Grupo Argos. When we speak about Grupo Sura will be focused on the financial service sector and the adjacent companies to this financial services. We have those assets. Sura Asset Management is a company that's a leader in pension funds and in investments in Latin America. Sura Americana, that's a for insurance company in Latin America, and Bancolombia, that's the leader bank in Colombia with an important presence in Central America. These companies are also leaders. They also have the scale, the knowledge, and the capacity to keep on developing their businesses. A very important point. Behind this business footprint of financial services that we have in Grupo Sura, their assets under management close to 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos. This is a large figure anywhere and shows the growth power that these companies have and that the region has in terms of opportunities. So let me repeat once again. From a company point of view, these are focalized companies. They will bring, speaking about this virtuous cycle, and let's move on to the next page, we can see that this is more attractive for the capital markets. From one side, a larger liquidity. And for both shares, we saw initially that in case of Grupo Sura, approximately 50% of the shares will be in ordinary and preferential shares. These are shares, or these are stocks, or these are companies that we started making the analysis we'll consider for each one of the indexes. And you know the importance that indexes have nowadays for the price formation. With the price formation logics, the float is key. And in that index constitution, these are companies that are going to be close to 100% of their float in terms of shares. We consider this is not just going to be powerful for the indexes, but this will also attract international investors, that one of entrance gateways when they come to new markets is liquidity. So we consider that liquidity is a very important effect for both companies, let me say once again, and for both shares. This is key. This is the virtuous cycle or feedback loop. And if we move on to the next slide, we want to see how this is going to be executed in this business line. Today, we are announcing this transaction that we signed in October, an MOU. We spoke about what was going to be our directioning. We were still missing the how. And here we're speaking about the how in detail with this split-up agreement. Afterwards, there's going to be a shareholder approval. At the end of the day, this is something that's proposed to shareholders of both companies. We'll also have assembly meeting for both companies, for bond tenants. We'll ask also, we'll make this request to the regulator in order for them to approve this transaction. So we consider that for during 2025, for maybe the first months of 2026, the transaction will be perfected. So this is the timeline that we've scheduled and the measure that we have, as we've always done with the companies and with the framework agreement. As we reach each milestone, we'll share them with you all. Very important to move on to slide number 22. On slide number 22, we want to explicitly share with you why are we completely convinced of the power of this alternative. As Jorge said, this is something that we've been analyzing for a time now. We analyze all the options with the different criteria, fundamental criteria. These are completely anchored to the principles of the companies, equality, no value transfer, and this gives an equal treatment for close to 24,000 shareholders of Grupo Sura and 21,000 shareholders of Grupo Argos, a guarantee of no value transfer. The shareholders will be direct shareholders in Grupo Sura or Grupo Argos, keeping their rights and keeping the very economic value per share, even increasing the value of their share. This is an efficient transaction. We analyze different types of transactions, and this is just one transaction. And despite the fact that simultaneously it has several parts, it's just one transaction that in terms of legal, financial, and execution terms is efficient, complex, but efficient, and that there's different points of ease from a legal point of view. As I said, it's just one transaction where we maintain our rights. And last but not least, the simplification. This is something that we're aware of, that the market is seeking for things to be simpler, for us to understand the value proposal in a simpler manner, the equity of each one of the companies. And we know that this will help Grupo Argos to be focused on infrastructure in order to value Grupo Argos and to recognize their value. We can understand the ratios, measurements, pipeline, and the same thing happens with Grupo Sura, the way that we value an insurance company, a pension fund, the way we value our privacy back is something that's clear, it's simpler than mixing this with infrastructure assets. And this gives the investor the possibility, the local or international investor, to be a clear in terms of simplicity and to understand in what are they investing on. So now to conclude and to move on to the Q&A session, we're convinced that with this attribute that are anchored in a design criteria, that are anchored in fundamental principles of these companies, what we are presenting to the shareholders in order to be eventually approved in the board is the simplest decision after analyzing this with different advisors and with different teams. Now, let me say once again, it's a transcendental step. Understanding also that it's key to say that we will keep the benefits of a cross-benefit structure that we had for the last 4 to 6 years. Thanks to thousands of people that worked for this last 4 to 6 years, we are where we are with large companies, with a regional presence, and it's our responsibility to care for those principles in order to keep on moving forward. We've said that Grupo Empresarial Antioqueño, it was not an end per se, it was just a meaning, it was a way of making business, our principles, a long-term vision, a strategy. And these companies, these administrations, are convinced on keeping the positive aspects of this, but also evolving towards a new place, that's this split-up that we're presenting here. So we are ready to move on to the Q&A session. Thank you, Ricardo. I want to remind you all that you could ask your questions in the Q&A widget that's enabled in the Zoom platform, and this space is going to be focused on questions only related with the transactions. Questions that are specifically for each company, both teams of investor relationships will be open to answer those questions. So let's start with the first question. Thank you, Carlos. The first question comes from Ricardo Rios and says as follows. Good morning. If you could explain to us, how do we calculate these ratios of 0.23 and 0.72 that you mentioned during this operation? Of course. Allow me, if we could go back to the slide that specifies that exchange ratios. But as we were saying, it's a mathematical relation that
my
numerator and denominator, and we bear in mind two elements. First, the participation that a company has in the other over the total number of shares that are currently circulating at the moment that we do the split out. So let me explain. This is 0.72, for example, 0.72 of shares of Grupo Argo is that each shareholder will receive in the case of Grupo Sura. This corresponds to the relationship between 286 million shares that Grupo Sura owns in Grupo Argos over a total of 395 million shares that are currently circulating for Grupo Sura. When we divide 286 over 395, this is equal to 0.72. Likewise, in the contrary, shareholders of Grupo Argos that will receive 0.23 shares for Grupo Sura correspond to the relationship between 197 million shares where Grupo Argos has economic rights in Grupo Sura divided by the 840 million shares that are currently circulating for Grupo Argos. And when we divide 197 between 840, this gives a ratio of 0.23. This is a very important particularity, and it's also very important for this operation because this obeys to this exchange ratio for the number of shares, not that just one has in the other company, but also bearing in mind the circulating shares. And there's a calculator that, as Ricardo said, could be found in the website, and a shareholder might have a value perception that's higher or lower of each one of the companies. When we feed these calculators with any value independently from the investor perception, the ratios at the end are kept because this is a math factor in function of the number of circulating shares and of the participation in the other company. I want to say something, Jorge. When we include this element of no wealth transfer, is a mathematical effect. It's not something that we're coming up that we're inventing. It's mathematical that each shareholder will keep the economic right that they have, and this is proven in the formula that Jorge showed. This is fundamental for your ease. Next question comes from Ricardo Rios. Does this process lead to dilution for the current shareholders? Well, let me answer this question, Ricardo. In the measure that when we make an emission, as we said, there's some shares that are associated to Grupo Argos or Grupo Sura, and these shares will be canceled as the rest of the shareholders increase. And this is where we, hypothetically, someone that has 5% of Grupo Argos will have a 6% of Grupo Argos, that's a 20% more, and will own 3% of Grupo Sura. So they're not diluted, but they will increase their participation. And this is another of the powerful attributes that this figure has. Thank you. Next question comes from Andres Uribe. Andres Uribe, those cancellation, how many shares will be left in Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos, and the equity values for each one? What's the projected value per share for the companies in terms of profit for year 2025? Okay, if I'm not wrong, in slide number 12, we could find the number of shares. Maybe Alejo, if you could access this. Post structure, basically, in terms of Grupo Argos, this would be a total of 697 million shares. 406 ordinary shares and 291 preferential shares. For the case of Grupo Sura, we'll have 328 million shares, 166 will be ordinary shares, and 162 million shares will be preferential shares. In terms of the equity value, it's very important to highlight in this moment, given that this is a product of the split-off, the equity value will be calculated in function of the reasonable value that will be proposed after the transaction is done. This also has to do according to taxation advisors. And when the shareholders will get what intrinsically coincides for each share, it will be equal or potentially higher, given that the transaction makes or generates two intrinsic values. What we've seen in different simulations is that the shareholder will keep their value from a fundamental point of view, and also with the potential of reflecting this accounting-wise. In terms of profit per share, the program shows that during 2025, we'll keep a similar share structure than the one we have right now. In Grupo Sura, we'll be having a profit of 6,300 pesos per share, and what we are expecting for next year is to keep this value or even increasing it. I wanted to compliment Alejandro and Juan Esteban with the following thing. On slide 15, we wanted to explain that the shareholder will keep their same equity and their same value that will be reflected in two independent shares. Given the different share movements, given that there's some shares that are canceled, given that there's an increase, it's fundamental for us to see the metrics per share or per stock. So when Juan Esteban was saying that in this case, in the case of Grupo Sura, we're speaking about 6,500 pesos per share, this will be evolving, connecting this with Alejandro mentioned in the measure that the new equities will be different. But we always have to look at this per share, dividing this per share, metrics per share, cash flow per share. Because at the end, these are two companies that will be different. In what sense will they be different? Both companies, they're being split off for an important equity. So the same value, the same system, there's no value exit, but this is being directed differently. Now, just simply to insist in this concept that I believe that's important, try to make it as simple as possible. And there is no value transfer, because for each shareholder will have two different titles that summed up will be the same value that they currently have. So a shareholder of any of the both companies, for example, Grupo Argos, they are exposed to infrastructure but also to a financial system. So we'll be delivering to the shareholders the participation in the financial service directly. The shareholder will be exposed to the infrastructure business and simultaneously, according to the ratios, will have a participation in the financial service business with no value leaks and with no value transfers between shareholders or stocks. Well, thank you. We have a series of questions from Catherine Ortiz. Let me segment this question. First question goes as follows. Can you clarify which are the operations that Cementos Argos are analyzing as a source of payment or as exchange for the shares of Grupo Sura? Well, let me answer this question. So as it was explained in the presentation, the assumptions that we're making right now is that Grupo Argos will announce in the right time to the market the decision of following a certain scheme that will allow to transfer the shares that Grupo Argos has to Grupo Sura, that is approximately 28 million shares to its shareholders between this Grupo Argos as an important shareholder of Grupo Argos. The scheme that will be followed is still being analyzed by Cementos Argos board, and in a certain moment that I expect for it to be close by, once this is approved, a decision will be made in terms of the most efficient mechanism, given the particularities that Grupo Argos has in order to dispose of this share the stock package. And in terms of Cementos Argos, and let me speak as president of the board of Cementos Argos, this is not just a way to retribute directly to the shareholders, this equity that's represented in 28 million shares. But this is a very key specialization. A cement company with cement assets, participating in 17 countries and regions, that has disposed of its equity in favor of its shareholders, of a participation of Grupo Sura. I estimate that, in short, we'll be announcing to the market what's going to be the mechanism, but we need to give the enough time and respect to different institutions of corporate governance such as the board is. In addition, Catherine asks, how are going to be the leverage, hedging, and interest indicators after the transaction for Grupo Sura and Grupo Argos? Well, Alejo might answer the Argos question, and Juan Esteban might answer the other one. Well, of course, it's very important to mention that this transaction in terms of Grupo Argos does not have implications in increasing the level of leveraging or indebtedness. If we make a forecast, the level of leveraging for Grupo Argos will be kept between 1.75 trillion Colombian pesos approximately. In the simulations that we've done, starting from 2026, Grupo Argos won't receive dividends from Grupo Sura for around 269 billion Colombian pesos, but nevertheless, within our projections, we still have between dividend revenues, paid revenues. We have a super app in terms of cash flow in that train of thoughts, and assuming that we don't have an indebtedness increase due to this transaction, and the indebtedness will be 1.75 trillion Colombian pesos, even the projection that we have for 2 or 3 years, net debt with adjusted EBITDA for Grupo Argos will be in a ratio between 3.5 and 1.9 times approximately. And the net debt over dividends ratio will be between 2.1 to 3.3 times approximately. So meaning by this, that from a rating ratio's point of view, both for Rich and Standard & Poor's, we are still in the leverage indicators that allows us to be in AAA ratings. In the case of Grupo Sura, we want to implement indebtedness as a consequence of this transaction. This is a very efficient transaction, financially speaking. The different results that Sudamericana, Sudas, the Management Bank of Colombia have been having will allow us to project a cash flow that will be close to 1 trillion Colombian pesos. Received dividends will be around twice as much as this figure. When we look towards the future, what we want to keep is received dividends over debt ratio close to 4 times. So in the conversations that we've had with different rating companies and with banks, we've been seeing that we will be maintaining ourselves in this level, even with the possibility of dropping this organically. So from an indebtedness point of view, this is a transaction that keeps the Grupo Sura levels in an adequate position. And I would complement that the main functions of a holding such as Grupo Sura is the capital allocation. And as we've said in other calls, we basically have three usages for this capital: remunerate the shareholders, paying the debt, and investing for growth. So what we have from now on is an adequate balance between how do we make the shareholders fall in love with the proper dividend return, how do we divide organically this level of debt, and how do we keep the investment that we're not just doing from Grupo Sura, but from each one of the investments. So that capital triangle, dividends, debt, and investment is key, and it's in the center of the strategy of the holding such as Grupo Sura. Oh, thank you very much for following with the questions. We have this one. How do you estimate that will be the shareholder composition of the company post-transaction, and who will be the controllers of this company? Well, let me answer the first part of this question. And I want to say the following. One of the particularities of this transaction, as Ricardo clearly explained, is a larger liquidity and larger float of the organization's equities. All the shareholders will grow their position given the cancellation of the shares that we're receiving from both organizations. So this means that the position of all the shareholders will grow. Today, we cannot specifically define the participation of all the shareholders because, as it was also explained, this will be calculated according to the participation in the moment that this is executed, that the operation executed in 2025. But what I do want to say is that there is no shareholders, or at least we are not thinking on individual shareholders with participations over the regulation limits, no one over 10%. We don't want to have any shareholder with a controlling position, nor both Grupo Argos or Grupo Sura. And these companies will become companies where the float is very close to the standards of S&P 500 companies and the companies in developed markets of 95 and 100% of the capital. And this is a very important attribute, not just in price formation of the share, but also the attractiveness and the simplicity, and that float will also generate a virtuous cycle attracting new investors. And as Ricardo said, this will also be a very important enabler for the inclusion of these shares in global indexes, generating a virtual cycle. So summarizing, these companies won't have controlling shareholders. These are shareholders that have been in the companies for many years, pension funds, institutional, national investors, international institutional investors, individuals and companies that will take the best investment preference in terms of which company they want to be, or if they want to be in both companies. And the common denominator will be that the attributes of this simplification and this democratization and the increase of the float will generate a virtuous cycle. There's going to be a better price formation. There's going to be a better inclusion in terms of the indexes, and also the possibility of these companies being able to access specialized markets in terms of capital emissions in the use of their stocks in order to grow in particular strategic projects that they might have. So there is no controlling shareholder from any of both organizations. It's a company that has 24,000 shareholders and 21,000 shareholders that will float in the public value market. Next question unifies several that have been asked related. Why are ordinary shareholders receiving ordinary shares and preferential shareholders receiving preferential shares? So let me come back because I believe this is the most important thing in terms of the conversation that we're having when we describe this presentation. For a long time, this organization supported with several advisors and with a dedicated team studied different possibilities in order to reach this that we are sharing with you all today. But they started from these fundamental principles, unnegotiable principles that had to be checked in each one of the alternatives as attributes to define the path that we were going to be following. I want to highlight some that we already mentioned, but I want to emphasize on this. Equality with all the shareholders of the company. Meaning by this, for there not to be any discriminatory treatment to any of the shareholders, nor for there to be any type of discrimination of any type of share in the companies. And this was a fundamental premise. Second, as we also mentioned, the non-transfer of wealth. There would be any wealth transfer between shareholders or third parties or shareholders in any of the companies. Third, we also said the simplicity. The financial execution, the accounting and regulation execution that could support a relatively simple transaction that will follow these upcoming steps. And I would also say, for it to be efficient, not just in terms of, not fiscal-wise, but taxation-wise also, proof shows that these types of transactions of split-offs does not represent any gain for shareholders or companies, so this is fiscally neutral. Meaning by this, that this there's no equity detriment for any of the shareholders. So when we consider all these elements, these were the ones that governed the rating of multiple alternatives that were bear in mind. I want to emphasize in first two, equality and transfer. In this sense, the structure that companies have in terms of ordinary and preferential shares, and the fact that's what's being proposed is being delivered in those proportions, guarantee an equal share for the shareholders of the company, and due to different reasons. First, shareholders will receive the economic rights and the political rights that are equal in substance what they have. Let's remember that a preferential shareholder has some preferences that grant certain rights, not just economic rights, but particular rights that's not granted from the ordinary shares. And the ordinary shareholders have other rights between those rights to vote. So preferential shares, shareholders will receive preferential shares, and this also grants them a preference as the one that preferential shares have of the company where they participate. And ordinary ones will also receive ordinary shares, so they'll keep their right to vote. Because differently, this would lead to a discussion between the direct transfer between ones and the others. And here's an additional consideration that I wanted to mention. Given that shares that are received are canceled, this also has an impact on the shareholders, both preferential and ordinary shareholders. All of them grow their position. And the shares of the companies, both preferential and ordinary, it will be 100% floating. So there's price formation attribute, not just for the ordinary shareholders, but also for the preferential shareholders in a clear manner. So there's a series of attributes of respect, of equality in both shares, and asymmetric benefits for both of the shareholders and the market. And the question might be, in a certain moment, a share might be valued under or higher than the other one. And there's many cases, some that are well known here, that preferential shares might be higher than ordinary shares or vice versa. So that price formation, we believe that with this symmetry and with this equality, will be generating both shares and types of shares, and this will be beneficial for everyone. Just wanted to complement what you said. It's very clear, but I just wanted to emphasize several of the points. For us, the principles and the criteria designs are key. That's what we've expressed during other presentations. The best way to understand the concept of equality is step on someone else's shoes. Preferential shares have some rights, and ordinary shares have other rights. When each company absorbs and issues, in the moment of the emission, we need to guarantee that whatever's been issued maintains the rights of each one of the two shares. And this is connected with the message of equality. And why? Because if we would do this differently, the ordinary shareholder would say, why is the other one receiving a right that they don't have? And likewise, that would be the comment from the preferential shareholder. So we keep the rights that each one has in the moment of that split off. Two, reinforcing what Jorge says, two types of shares, we need to have to look at them differently because they'll have more liquidity. Associated price to the shares is connected with liquidity, and the measure that both shares have a higher liquidity will attract more marginal buyers, and at the same time being supported by the same subjacent assets, the differential between both shares should drop. So before issuing any judgment, we need to understand equality and a non-value transfer in order to understand this, in order for the transaction to be happening in an organized manner for all the shareholders. Well, thank you very much. We have another question from Diego Rodriguez. Good morning. Thank you for the conference. Clearly, it's neutral in terms of economic rights, but an effect of the operation is in both companies, the percentage of ordinary shares will drop substantially compared with preferential shares. Is this right? This is right. As we could see on slide number 12, ordinary shares will go from the case of Grupo Sura. If we could just go to that slide. It's ordinary shares will be, it's 50% in the case of Grupo Argos, 406 million ordinary shares, and the preferential shares would be 91 million shares, so that would be 40-something percent. This is connected with the previous answer. Preferential shares will have a higher relevance. I have the example of Bancolombia here. Bancolombia has 50% of preferential and 50% ordinary shares. Sura structure will be similar. Another important point that is not for this conversation, but it's important, is that there's a transaction here and it's being executed. And the measure that we execute this transaction, we need to think in the upcoming steps. And this administration are completely connected, trying to imagine the upcoming steps in order to add value to the shareholders, to the company, and to the market, and closing that value gap. It cannot happen all in one transaction, but we are advancing one step at a time. Next question coming from Juan Zapata is related with the ratio that we presented. What happens with the potential residuals that are happening with the transactions? Well, residuals will obviously be bared in mind, and these reorganizational projects require evaluation, and we'll recognize those residuals when we do the evaluation that we'll do with qualified companies. It will be in cash. We'll end up being in cash. Okay, we have an upcoming question from Gabriel Velez. What associated costs does this agreement has? Well, maybe Rafa, you could help us with this question. Yeah, thank you, Gabriela, for your question, and good morning to you all. We don't see a relevant associated costs to this agreement, as Jorge Maria and Ricardo mentioned before. According to the sign premises and to the structural premises for this transaction, we place as a priority for this to be efficient in terms of finances, accounting, and economic terms. We wanted to transfer the largest amount of value to the shareholders. That's why it's so important this concept of position growth, of additional shares, of this concept of equality, where each shareholders, being Sura or being Argus, will deliver the same share in that beneficiary society. I believe that this collects that concept of associated costs in terms of efficiencies, and trying for that transaction that will be proposed in the assembly will be the best in terms of the company in the stock market, but more specifically for all our shareholders. Another criteria that we bear in mind was that any structure that we would be presenting to our shareholders would seek for the highest efficiency in terms of taxes, because we do know that this is a reorganizational transaction, and we wanted for there not to be costs or taxation impacts, nor for the company, nor for the shareholders. So from the cost perspective and from the expense structure, we don't see anything relevant or substantial that we should mention. But in the contrary, what we see is a position growth. Preferential and ordinary shareholders will receive additional shares. We're not speaking of a share conversion. This is a position growth. This is all incremental for all the shareholders. And that's why I want to highlight what Jorge Mario Ricardo mentioned in terms of efficiency, in terms of fastness, and mainly in terms of constructability. And here I want to speak about times. We believe that this transaction is a transaction that can be implemented in a relatively short period of time, even though 1 year sounds like a long time. As we heard in one of the questions, it's a transaction that has a high level of complexity, that has a board, that has a shareholder assembly, that has also certain steps that have to be followed with the Financial Superintendency of Colombia. But if we look at the split off of Cementos and Grupo Argos, this is a reference that we've had present. The truth is that this also allows this efficiency in terms of times, and allow us to dream that at the end of 2025 or beginning of 2026, these companies will have concluded this exercise, this split of exercise, simultaneously, reciprocal, and in the time that I consider as a record time. And something that I also wanted to mention, recently in October, that's why we have a timeline that converges. Remember that we had the final litigation for the Portfolio Society. This was one of the commitments that we assumed as upper management of this organization when we celebrated the framework agreement, that there was a Nutresa session and afterwards there was a liquidation of a Portfolio Society. And this happened in record time, 11 months. And this operation, we want to do the same thing. We want to be completely efficient. We want to be completely focused. And we believe that we could bring efficiency at times and the possibility of moving as fast as we can all together, going for this transaction that we'll be proposing to the shareholder assembly in the first semester of 2025. I just wanted to complement what Rafa just explained with the following. Something simple, but not less important. None of both companies are receiving additional resources. That's why costs were so important. What the system is doing within this reorganization is separating the assets and giving this directly to shareholders. What is the only cost that we've had till the moment? Due diligence costs, having strategic advisors, both accounting, financial, and taxation investors. So for us to be easy and have the ease of presenting this to the shareholder assembly, understanding that none of both companies are receiving resources in the moment of the transaction execution. Okay, we had that question regarding times, but they're also asking about next steps. Maybe if we could speak of the upcoming steps that we have. What updates do we have? Let me answer this, and maybe the team can complement. We have a timeline that's a very general. In this moment, we need to work in order to structure all the adequate proposal, take this to the shareholder assembly. We want to have this during March with the ordinary assembly. This implies financial results closes, and right now the resources are focused on this phase of resocialization, not just with the investors. Afterwards, we'll also be speaking with the press. We'll be having a press conference, so everyone has to be clear on this transaction. So at the moment that we have to take the decision during the assembly, we could be as clear as possible. And in the meanwhile, parallelly, the teams will be working on the adequate presentation so we could present this to the assembly. And after this presentation, not just the shareholder assembly, but also bond tenants, we could organize all the regulation request package. This has been specified in general terms. As I was saying during this slide, we'll be taken step by step, and we'll be sharing this to the market as soon as we reach every single milestone. We have a destination. We know how are we going to be arriving to that destination. We're just starting the voyage. We might have an adjustment during the path, but that's why it's important to share with you the follow-up of this execution. That, as Rafa said, is not a simple transaction, and we're completely convinced that in these two organizations, we have the teams, the advisors, and the capacities in order to develop this in an organized manner. Okay, we have Catarina Arango with the following question. The transaction conditions apply only for current shareholders, or also for those new shareholders that might buy shares from today on? Thank you, Catalina. Well, the business conditions, I will be presenting this to the shareholder assembly. I will be presenting the split of projects. This will happen in the first quarter or the first semester. We wanted for this to happen in March, and then in this way we can accelerate the process. In terms of the transactionability of the shares, this will keep on being bought and sold. So if this split off is approved, there's going to be a regulation process, and after or when this is being done, we need to stop the purchase and sale of the shares. It might be 3-4 days where we close any transaction of the stocks. But today, the stocks are still being traded. And as Jorge Mario said, they're completely optimistic for the present and future of these companies. This won't alter the normal negotiation process or transactional or trading process that we've been following. Gabriel Perez asks as follows. Grupo Argos has an active repurchase share program during the split up. Will this be stopped, or this will be kept? The stock reacquisition program was approved by the shareholder assembly that has been complying with the transactional modality. This is a continuous execution decision, a long-term decision that has some regulation suspension periods that we follow accordingly. But the board that has been delegated for implementing this program will analyze the market conditions in order to proceed with it. I would build over Rafael's answer The conditions of the trade conditions of the shares will be the same as we've been having till the moment. The materialization of this exchange will only happen when the assembly approves and when we have regulational approvals and when the process is executed. That, as Ricardo said, will happen further on and probably at the end of next year. So, from a traceability point of view, from a tradability point of view, nothing changes. This reacquisition programs will have implications over the number of shares under circulation, and that will have to be accounted for in the moment of the execution of the program. Next question is Daniel Guardiola. Do you expect a reduction in administrative costs after this transaction happens? Well, it doesn't have a direct connection with this transaction, but it's clear that not just in the holdings, but each one of the companies of the portfolio, we've been following with this a path of cost reduction. We can look at this in the case of Sura and the margin improvement that we've been having. This is connected with what Juan Esteban was mentioning, speaking about the profit per share for the last 12 months. So from a leverage point of view in terms of cost management, we want to follow this process. Holdings have some costs that are manageable, others that are not as manageable. There's some taxes, there's some ratings, there's bond tenants. There's a bunch of things that are structural. But having a clear definition of what should be within the holding and what should be within each one of the companies, seeking for the holding to be focused on its main topic or on its main subject, such as debt management, capital allocation, and sustainability-related topics, where something that's fundamental is proceeding with that process, trying to make things as efficient as possible, but it's not connected to this transaction per se. Completely agree, not much to add. I would say that there's, well, you might say that there's just a lower resource allocation, but this is marginal in terms of the size of this operation. But what we do have is a focalization of the organization and of the management towards the core businesses. And this should bring as result a better capacity of taking advantage of the virtues and advantages of these focalized companies, focused on the attraction and care and following long-term growth. So more than a transaction that's done via cost reduction that's substantially marginal, I would say that the benefits are mainly our focalization and perception are brought to a new shareholder base to the companies. We have the next question from Juan Miguel Moreno. Asked as follows. How would the previous share transaction happen from Grupo Sura that Grupo Argos has? And the vote in the video to Grupo Argos. Well, let me answer this question with Rafael. The inhibiting PA shares will deliver an instruction will be moved integrally to Grupo Sura. So all those shares won't go through Grupo Argos, and this will be a part, this will be a substantial part of the share volumes that will be split off in favor of Grupo Sura. And that's why they're part of the circle that we spoke previously. Speaking about this foundation, this is a society, or it's a foundation that's completely independent, that maintains a participation in Grupo Sura and are not part of the shareholding mass that has this purpose of migrating towards Grupo Sura and the split up or in the PA transfer. So in the going into the pursue your process. I would just compliment and thank you for the question. Within the 197 shares, here we have the shares that we estimate receiving from Cementos Argos, and we also have the shares that are in this autonomous equity. That's the real beneficiary of this Grupo Sura transactions. What we've thought in the process is to deliver the shares directly to Grupo Sura, remembering that these shares, Grupo Sura receives them immediately due to the split off, and that's how we legally contemplate it. And there must be an immediate cancellation of the shares, and this brings the position growth that we've been speaking of. So it's an important question, and I think that in terms of the foundation that Jorge answered, it's an equity that's different, and it's a part of the Grupo Argos business group. It's a separated entity. It's an entity that has a completely social focus and will keep being shareholder of Grupo Sura. Its participation is not being included in these 197 million shares. Well, we don't have any additional questions. We did receive more questions in the Q&A, would you? But we try to group questions according to related topics. So maybe someone asked something that has already been answered, so we just group this. Well, just as simply, I just wanted to thank you all, not for your participation, but the number and quality of the questions that have been asked. Just wanted to let you know that our teams, our investor relationship team, who's speaking to you, and all the group, were completely open to answer any of your questions in order to drill down deeper in any considerations that we want to discuss. But any other questions that you might have, just let us know. So from my side, thank you for your presence and for the availability and interest, and we're completely open to answer any additional questions that you might have. Completely agree. Thank you for all those that are here. Thank you for those that have been following this. Our objective with this call was to speak specifically about this transaction. We do know that this transaction might impact other topics within the companies, and for this, we have all our teams available, even in the upcoming calls, in order to develop the strategy for each one of the companies. That's what we want to focus on, and that's why we have both companies here specifically speaking about this transaction. Well, thank you very much. Have a nice day.